Hello, so here we are again on another little stump about in the Devonshire countryside. Today I've gone back to a slightly longer walk than we often do, and because it's up a hill, got to walk up a hill, haven't you? Get the exercise for both Lottie and me. Yeah, we always get a bit of breeze, so sorry if there's too much wind noise, but I'll try and shield it a bit. So, it's, what is it, in October, something, I don't know, 5th, something like that. And the sun is shining after a extremely rainy night. So I'll take a photo in a minute, but there will be some quite dramatic clouds as well as sunshine this morning. And really, it's not cold considering we're racing through autumn. The wind isn't all that cold. And it's nice to have a bit of sunshine. I'm going to be too warm in a minute. So if you're new to these, if I sound a little bit out of breath as I speak, it's just because I tend to keep a good old pace as I march through the hills with Lottie. And it is pretty spectacular today. I'll keep stopping and having a little look at the view, because that's life, isn't it? If you're not careful, you can miss it. You can miss what's important. You don't stop and look around. So, trying to get back to the routine, trying to get things like the newsletter and so on ready. And it's a lot of kind of plates to spin. But you know, that's the way it is. And I don't mind. I like trying to do things that I think some people might enjoy, even if it's only a few people. I think only a few people listen to these, but you know, you're all very welcome. So, come on, Lottie. She's stopping to sniff. Just been talking to a local character, and I kind of wish I'd have my recorder on then. It's a farmer whose house we go by on this walk, and we sometimes see him as he goes up and down his little all-terrain vehicle thing, and his little buggy-type things. Farmers like to whiz about on. And he's always a jolly chap, and stopped this morning. So I haven't seen him for a while, so he stopped in the lane, blocking the lane, of course, but it's a very quiet lane, and having a little chat with me. And asking if we'd enjoyed our holiday, because he'd seen Sue, Mrs. C, he'd seen her before we went. And it's quite funny how direct some people can be. And he said, "Oh, you didn't fall out, did you? Holiday." Why would you say that? Why would you assume that? Maybe because he's sometimes seen us walking together, and I was on my own today, I don't know. Anyway, I mentioned being back to work after holiday, and he sort of said, "Oh, I thought you'd retired." And he hastily added, "Not that you look old enough to retire, it's just that I see you walking in the middle of the day, you know, or during working type hours for most people." So I told him I was a writer, and it's one of those things I'm quite happy to tell people, but it's a bit funny when you think I'm writing books inspiring the local area, and he's kind of part of the local area. And I actually pinched part of the name of his farm and changed it around for one of the books. So Mystery in May, we have a very large farming type consideration, sort of more commercial thing called Iron Brand. And this chap's farm that I walked past is called Brand Iron. I might have mentioned that before. I thought it's a really nice name, but I don't want to use it as it is, because there is no similarity between the two whatsoever. Whereas the character is a sort of rather rich and kind of jumped up character in Mystery in May. Big sort of landowner and business investor and so on, not really caring much about the local countryside, except insofar as he owns bits of it. This guy's very different. He's a small farmer, I would guess. I don't know how much land he owns, but you know, he just seems to pot around and a few head of cattle and so on in the fields. He's very much a Devonian And it would have been nice for some of you to hear his accent, I think. But anyway, it's quite a varied accent around here. I sometimes wonder about putting phonetic type things in my books. I don't tend to, because I think they can kind of get in the way. I think they can seem forced and clumsy. I think we all kind of recognise and laugh at that sort of God bless you, Mr. Holmes sort of thing, where it's G-A-W-D, you know. And the H is missing and the apostrophe. I never done nothing, I swear it. You know, I think those things just become a bit clunky and a bit silly. So what I do is I try and inject some of the local colour into it in a reserved way, in a kind of salt and pepper way, you know, adding a bit of seasoning. Because I want things to ring true. I want them to be the kind of things that people would say, minus a lot of the swearing probably. Because I don't really go in for that. I thought about it, I've wondered about it, and I just kind of think it's a bit too forced sometimes. People are sort of straining after being topical. Lots of effing and blinding. I kind of want to be considerate to my readers as well, you know. Lots of you probably wouldn't mind that. Some of you would find it offensive or put you off. I think I can manage without it. I think the books can be strong enough. So, you know, the stories, the characters. You don't have to talk like that. And there are other ways around it as well, you know. You can say somebody cursed under their breath or whatever. Or muttered an oath, or you know what I mean. You can sort of talk around it without it seeming too contrived. But yeah, I try and use some of the kind of local expressions, but I don't want to throw people out completely. We have things around here, like Sue and I were on a walk near Bovey Tracy the other day, and we heard a guy sort of stop and call back to his wife or partner. He said, we didn't know where you were to. And that's very much a local thing around here. So people might say, if you mention somewhere, you might say, oh, I've been to see X, Y, and Z. And they might say, where's that to? And you kind of think, don't you just mean, where's that? it's just a kind of a strange use of to. Now, I think a lot of people seeing that, if I were to put that in, they'd probably assume there was some kind of typo. well, that doesn't make sense. It would stop you reading. It would take you out of the story. So I don't tend to go in much for that kind of idiomatic use, if that's the right word. It isn't, is it? There's another word. Colloquialisms. I don't tend to go in too much. But, you can bring in some of the local kind of flavour other ways. So one of the books, again, this is Mystery of May, somebody mentions supporting the rugby, supporting the Exeter Chiefs. Now if I go to our little village, I will see a couple of Exeter Chiefs flags hanging outside people's houses. It's a popular thing around here. I think probably more so than the football. Maybe there is an Exeter football team, and I don't really follow it, but I don't think they're quite as well known, whereas the Exeter Chiefs are quite a community type thing as well. They're quite popular in the area. They seem to do quite well, I think. And they have sort of activities and things. They do charitable work and so on. I think they're quite well known. So it seemed quite a reasonable thing for our characters to mention. You know, it is a local thing that would happen. And I'm trying to think if I've ever used any of these sort of phonetic type spellings of things. I don't know if I have. If I have, they'll be few and far between, I would guess. I'm not sure if I've mentioned this sort of topic before, but it just seemed quite interesting to me as just been talking to somebody. And again, you know, some of the local concerns and so on would be represented in some way. So, wait through some bracken. So, you know, some of the stories are about things like land use and the the conflict between the different uses that people want to put the countryside to. So Death at Blackingstone Rock is partly about that, about conservation. I won't say more because it would give it away. There's the kind of the push and the pull, as the idea of conservation, the idea of people making a living in the landscape, farming and so on. There are other people who make their life in the landscape through things like crafts, or say food type industries, you know, where they might have a business making scones and things like that. I mean, I went to a food fair in Exeter, and there was a chap there who made a mind-boggling amount of scones every day. His business made these sort of Devonshire type scones, and it was thousands every day. I can't remember how many, and they sent them all over the place, even across Europe, I believe. They sent these scones, and I imagine it's a lot of work. So it's kind of almost industrializing the kind of cream tea idea, but yeah, you know, he's part of the landscape of the place. The people who have dairy farms are making cheese and so on, and there's all kinds of different things going on. Yeah, there's a craftsperson in Mystery in May. I keep mentioning that one probably because it was the last one that was finished. So amongst that, you've got kind of people who have been here a long time and people who are relative newcomers. So we've lived here over 20 years. And I guess we don't feel like newcomers anymore, but yeah, it would be a shame if the area were to be too commercialised. So if you go up onto Dartmoor, you're not going to find a huge amount of facilities. There are a few more now than there used to be. There used to be literally nothing apart from a few car parks, many of which used to just be free, which is a good idea. And with a bit of wind. And now you'll find that, you know, a few more things in the way of cafes, and some of them are just portable ones, you know, they just sort of almost like a big fancy trailer that they've got a coffee shop built inside. You can get a hot drink and things on a cold day, or a cold on a hot day. But it's nice to have some of those things without it becoming too commercialised and full of litter and gift shops. So it is interesting. It's interesting going around some of the small towns and villages. You see shops coming and going, things changing over time. You see that a lot of the little shops that used to sell things like electrical goods and so on have been swept away by the online retailers. A lot of the little food shops have been swept away by the supermarkets, but things adapt and things change. And you see some all kinds of interesting little things. It's a changing area. It's not set in stone, it's not a picture postcard. It's the same everywhere. Everywhere changes all the time, of course. But I think people see the countryside as maybe being a bit stuck in the past, and it isn't necessarily. So I try to bring a bit of sort of modern sensibilities and modern viewpoints, modern conflicts into the books, just to sort of weave the landscape into the stories a bit, because they're part of it. I think they're part of what people like, I hope so anyway. I like to try and get that note of authenticity in. I don't particularly want to go in for the something that's devoid of all reality. You know, I know they're a bit of a stretch to the imagination, but they're most mystery stories, aren't they? But that's what we like about them so much. But it looks like I've been rabbiting for nearly a quarter of an hour. And we've done a lap of this field. We've still got to get back yet. And get on. I'm just writing a short story still at the moment. I did start this rather dark little story, submitting it to an anthology. Doesn't mean to say it's going to get in, but if not, I'll do something else with it. It's called Mirror Mirror, because that was the title it was given. The story's had to be called that. And it's kind of dark little tale. It's coming together. Not sure it's going to be fantastic. I thought it would probably take me a couple of days, and of course it hasn't. It's taken me longer. But we'll get there with it fairly soon, and I'll get back to the working full tilt at the next Dan and Alan Devonshire Mystery, which still hasn't got a title. And we will get there with that as well. So that's going to be quite a long book, I think, by the time it's done. It's working out. But yeah, gosh, just think the way we're heading towards Christmas. Got to try and get it out before then, haven't I? Whether I will or not is another matter, because I'll have to think about sort of getting an editor booked in and a cover designer and so on as we go forward. But I'll sign off now, because I better get back home and give Lottie a biscuit and crack on. See if I can get some words down. Well, I will definitely, because that's my job. So I've got to do that. It's been nice talking to you. Thank you very much for all your emails and all your support and encouragement. Thank you for listening, those of you who listen. You can subscribe to these, because they're in a podcast form. So wherever you get your podcasts, you should be able to find this one. If you search for Michael Campling and author, you should be able to find it, I would have thought. If not, there are always links on my site at michaelcampling.com. So you can get them from there. Each chat that I post up has all the links to the subscription services on there. And wherever you get them, it's worth having a look. It should probably be there. If you want to find it somewhere that you think it isn't, then drop me a line and let me know. But you can always get them on my website. And hopefully I'll get a newsletter out as well, because there's a little price drop on the Valley of Lies at the moment. It was a bit last minute. I booked this Kobo one. There's a sale on Kobo for a few days. It was a bird of prey hovering right above me, the sun catching on its wings. Amazing. I'm going to have to try and look that up and see what it is. Yeah. Just right above my head. Anyway, I hurried around yesterday and set up some promotions on the other main sites. I don't know if I've covered them all, because it's a bit of a faff trying to get people to do temporary price changes, and you know whether they do them in all the territories or not. I saw that Amazon had done its price matching thing on the US last night. I noticed it had put the price down. So if you haven't got Valley of Lies yet and you'd like to get it, it is jolly cheap at the moment. It's like 99 cents in the US and Canada. Certainly part of the big mystery sale on Kobo, which I think finishes maybe tomorrow. I think it finishes on the 6th of October, on whatever time zone that's on, I'm not sure. But I must get the newsletter out. And you will find it in other places as well. It's worth having a look, but not necessarily every territory and every store, I'm afraid, because it's a bit of a job to try and get them all to happen at the same time. You never know how long places take. Barnes & Noble, there's a coupon code which I've put on the website. The links to this are already on my website at michaelcampling.com. I put that up on there as the latest post yesterday, so that is there with some links to stores in it. And yeah, you should be able to find it from there with a bit of luck and a following wind. And thank you if you check that out. Thank you for listening and enjoying the books and sharing them with your friends and family and so on. And all your support, and special thank you to all the supporters on coffee.com who've sent me mugs of tea and mugs of coffee to keep me going. I'm going to go home and have one of those cups of coffee now and sit at the keyboard for a good solid tap away at the keys, I think. Okay, look after yourselves, take care, and happy reading, and I'll talk to you again hopefully next week. Bye.